Welcome to Two Christian Guys Zipping Through the News and Culture. That's right, it's Zippy the Wonder Snail, and this is a special election week Zippy Express. My comrade Jason and I, we'd like to go on the record and make our predictions for the upcoming election before it happens, and then we will come back and do our normal, more thorough analysis thereafter. But let's go ahead and dig in. Jason is going to tell us what he thinks is going to happen. Jason, what do you think?
I'm not going to make House and Senate predictions, but I wanted to give my official Zippy prediction on what's going to happen in the presidential election. I think our next president is Kamala Harris, and I think that she's going to go north of 300 electoral votes, and I'm pretty sure that your beloved pal, Pastor Tim, over here, is completely wrong in his predictions, which you could sneakily find on Twitter if you wanted to make him feel awkward.
I'll go ahead and make it right here as well. I think, as I look at the electoral map and the surveys I've already mentioned, I'm enjoying following the poll methodology of Nate Silver. I think we're going to see Trump win, probably with over 300 electoral votes. And then we're also going to see the Republicans retake the Senate. On the other hand, I believe we're going to see the Democrats take the House. That's my prediction as we go into Tuesday. It's obviously really, really close. I think I'm suspicious of anyone who says they know what's going to happen, but that's my best guess based on what we're seeing, poll data, economy, people's concerns, the whole enchilada.
I agree on your House and Senate predictions, actually. I think you're wrong about the president. I think the blue wall is going to be the blue wall. I think the polls are off in Pennsylvania. And here's why I think that. You see very close polls in the seven swing states that everyone is basically identifying. You've got Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. Am I missing one up there? Michigan, Wisconsin. There's another one. Not Minnesota.
Yeah, definitely not Minnesota. I think people are crazy talking about Minnesota as a swing state. It just doesn't look like a swing state. It's known for its progressive politics, and it seems to come up, seems to be being talked about this year, but I just don't see it.
Reagan didn't even get that one. So you've got Michigan, you've got Wisconsin. Those are so critical to Harris that she can't win if she loses those and she doesn't replace it with something else. But everyone's basically identifying the same seven swing states as the ones you need to watch. You've got Arizona in there. You've got Nevada. You've got North Carolina, Georgia. So those are the swings. I think I got them all.
Georgia does seem a bit swingy, although I think it's still a red state. I'm pretty certain it's going to go back. And I'm going to say I think Pennsylvania, I think it's going to swing red as well this time.
Yes, I think Georgia's going to flip. I think Pennsylvania is going blue. I think Georgia's going to flip. I think it's possible that Arizona flips based on what I'm hearing from some extremely confident Democrats on the ground over there. Now, that's the Democrats, and the Republicans are saying the opposite. But somebody's right and somebody's wrong. But even if Arizona doesn't flip, and I don't think it will, I think Arizona's going to stay in Trump's hands. And it should, because 2020 was really anomalous. And it's only gone Democratic twice in 100 years or something. So I don't think Arizona, it could. I mean, if Trump gets blown out, then it could. And all these states could go to Harris. I don't think North Carolina is going to flip to Harris either. So I think Trump has North Carolina. He probably has Arizona. But he's going to lose Georgia. He's most likely going to keep Florida. Most people say Florida is going to be fairly comfortable for Trump, although it's closer than some were anticipating based on DeSantis's blowout there in the last gubernatorial election. If Georgia flips and Pennsylvania flips, that'd give us like 290 something, right? I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. And so she would need one more that's close, and I think Nevada would be that. I honestly believe the Republicans are dreaming about Nevada. So if Nevada goes to Harris and Pennsylvania goes to Harris and Georgia goes to Harris, there you have, and the blue wall holds, there you have Harris is at 300, I believe. I think if we added all that up,
I'm really dubious on that. And I do think at least one blue wall state is going to go for Trump again, like in 2016. Although, obviously, if Pennsylvania goes and Georgia goes and, say, Florida goes, we'll know the result right away.
and definitely Florida. And I'm not anticipating that Kamala Harris is going to be, getting a recount in Florida. But if he lost Florida, the election would be over at 8:30 Eastern time.
I think really with Pennsylvania, the reason I'm thinking it so strongly is if you look at what people seem to be concerned about, the economy and so on, oil production, it just feels like the sort of election where it should swing in the Republicans' direction.
I could see that, but I'm challenged by the early voting numbers.
You know, it's a bit of a fool's errand to try to predict the outcome of early voting, although if you look at the partisan registration in states that have it, it looks like it might be more heavily weighted towards Republicans than in the past. Not by a large amount, still a majority Democrat, but different than, say, 4 years ago.
Let me just say, without thinking about the result, just for participatory representative government, I think it's a wonderful thing that that people on all sides are participating in as many ways as possible that are allowed by law. I think it's wonderful. So the higher the turnout, the better. Who cares about the result? I'm happy for super high turnout. But what I'm seeing people in Pennsylvania say is that the Trump campaign has gassed itself out in the rural areas, and the cities are still to come. And the early voting numbers in the cities are really strong for Harris, and they anticipate really strong numbers on election day, since they can use their full get out the vote operation. COVID is less of a concern for in-person voting this time. It's not a zero concern, obviously, but it's not. We're in an endemic situation right now, Tim, with the COVID.
Yeah, if not officially, at least informally, it's
okay.
clearly where we're at.
Most of the emergency authorizations have been rescinded. So the bottom line is, it won't be dangerous in the main for people to go in person to vote. I'm going in person to vote for my local and state races, so I feel confident that would be a safe thing to do. So I'm thrilled that the Republicans are still using early voting. I'm thrilled that they're going to make good use of in-person voting. I'm thrilled that the turnout is going to be even higher than it was in 2020, because that was a record, like an astonishing, unbelievable sort of record. So I think Harris has room to grow, and the reason I think it's going to go toward Harris is because there's always polling error. And it's about, average it all out, it's about 4% And the national polls, maybe not so much, but the state polls, even the best state polls, are within hailing distance of 4% off of the actual results. So if those all trend in one, there's two things that could happen. One, if these polls are generally right in showing Trump ahead in some of these swing states, like Pennsylvania, he's had some good polling numbers in Pennsylvania, then it's going to be a blowout because he's going to win by 5 or 6 points in all of these swing states. That would be a blowout for sure. But I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think they're overshooting the Trump support level. And if it goes in Kamala's direction, now it doesn't have to go in the same politician's direction in every state, but that's usually what happens. They overcorrect for what happened in the previous election. And so if that theory is correct, then they overcorrected for the amount of Trump support based on what happened in 2020. And I think what people are forgetting is there is no incumbent in this election. There is no incumbent in this election. So a lot of the Trump strength that they're seeing in the polls might be reflective of he was the incumbent in 2020. So this segment has gone on way longer than I thought it was going to go on. But I think it's going to be a polling error in favor of Harris. I don't anticipate a Harris blowout, but there's a possibility that we have a Harris blowout. And that's why I'm estimating minimum 300 electoral votes, maximum 330. That's what I.
Yeah, obviously I'm going the opposite direction on my prediction, but I think there's a good chance that we're going to be over 300. I'm not really anticipating a blowout, but I kind of think we have a good shot at a decisive election, one where we're not spending weeks trying to figure out if just a few votes here or there would make a difference.
That either way, that would make me so happy.
Yeah, comrade, definitely. That would be good.
Because stability and no doubt, and there's people gonna raise doubts about it no matter what the result is. And if somebody gets blown out, it might give certain segments of people reason to make noise about conspiracies and so on and so forth. But usually what happens in America is when we have a decisive election, everybody goes, well, we fought, we lost, we move on with our lives, you know? And I was talking with a friend one time who didn't like that the 2000 election was decided by the courts. But when the courts decided the hotly contested 2000 election, in the end, everybody accepted the Supreme Court's adjudication of those matters, and everybody got over it. I don't remember, and there might be some progressives somewhere that are still angry about so on and so forth, but there was not the persistent the election was stolen type of stuff that we saw in 2020 for months after the result.
We had some of that then, comrade, where people weren't really too keen to accept the election.
It wasn't nearly as bad. No one said, okay, Bush is not the legitimately elected president. They said dumb things like, he's not my president. But they didn't say democracy had been thwarted. And one of the positive things about that Supreme Court decision was the underlying issues were not as closely contested as the issue of the recount itself in 2000. Because on the recount, it was 5-4. On the underlying, and now I'm being a dork, on the underlying issue of equal protection under the law, the 14th Amendment, it was 7-2. People always forget that. So the Supreme Court was much more unified than what it appeared at first. Stop the recount, 5-4, the conservative justices, blah, blah, blah. And we had the newspapers in the state of Florida in the year 2000 do a hand recount themselves, and Bush won by a considerable margin, over 50,000. So at that point, everybody was like, okay, if we thought Bush stole the election, we're crazy because we have evidence otherwise. People are more deeply in their conspiracies now, but I think that if we have a decisive result, it'll be okay, one way or the other. So I went on an extended Bush v. Gore recap rant there. But there you go.
Yeah, I'll take one of those rants any old day, comrade. I love getting to think about some of those past elections. And soon this one will be in the past and we can get back together. We'll have a full episode of Zippy and think about how our predictions fared. In the meantime, for our listeners, they can check out snail.zip and catch all of our past episodes and use the links there so that you never miss an episode by subscribing on your favorite podcasting source, such as Amazon Podcasts, and of course, YouTube. So check us out there. Comrade, thanks so much as always. It's great to get to do this with you, and I'm looking forward to seeing where we find ourselves on the other side of Election Day. We'll see you all soon.
Thank you, Ted.